Mayor Kurt Dykstra just stepped in the studio, so we're ready to roll here this morning.
Good morning, Duke.
Good morning, Mayor.
My apologies. Slip sliding around town today like everybody else, I guess.
Yeah, I know it. I thought you maybe were checking for potholes.
Well, there are plenty to be found, and you don't have to look too hard for them this time of the year. The thaw and freeze cycle is not great for pavement conditions, but we got a little bit of a respite from the weather with last week or so, and the crews went out with the cold patch, which isn't ideal, but it's all you can get at this time of year.
Best thing you can do.
Right. So now we're back at it, so they're back out plowing and salting again, which seems to be pretty much a recurring theme this particular season.
Yeah.
But I guess it's winter in Michigan. You know, we call these things polar vortex and all that. We used to call it winter in my day, but not that I'm that old, but... No, so it's been a good classic Michigan winter, cold and snowy.
Which
of course means we're working our way well through the stockpile of salt we had brought in before the season. In fact, I'm pretty sure we've actually worked our way through the initial pile. Now we have purchased contracts, so we have had that replaced already, and I understand that we've already. Have been working on some additional contracts, putting them in place, and our guys. You know, like most road agencies, I mean, this is their job. They're pros at this. They know what they're doing. And we had in place some salt contracts at pretty good prices. The last couple of years have been kind of mild winters, so more salt is stockpiled. You know, more supply, less demand means prices go down. So we put in place some good pricing options for us. You know, we fully expect that next year will be a pretty expensive year in the salt price for just the opposite reason, but... We're in good shape. We fully expect to have no major issues throughout the rest of the season. It'll be an expensive salt and plowing year, which of course that money is the same money that's used for resurfacing. So there could be less resurfacing this upcoming year. We'll have to wait and see how that looks. But no, I mean this is one of the functions of government, and we do it, and I think we do it pretty well. Just know that every time the plows go out, there's cost with it, and. That's why we, in many ways, have governments take care of these things for us. So
and that's good.
And it's good, yeah. And it's been very, very good. We are trying. We have not yet unveiled the new wing plow. It's a sort of a new piece of equipment for us. It is a plow that gets put on the side of a truck, so you can essentially do two lanes at once. We got the plow, the underbody. I had heard something about we're waiting to get the finalized salt bed put in the back of the new truck that it goes on, but it'll help minimize some of the plow times for some of the major wide streets in town.
Got a call here. Yes, you're on the line with the mayor.
Horrible, and I'm wondering if they're going to do anything with that road.
Ottawa Beach Road is
north of the city. That's the Ottawa County Road Commission is in charge of Ottawa Beach Road, so I really can't tell you much about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, but I'm sure someone from the county is listening, and I can't imagine that they haven't heard that Ottawa Beach is in bad shape before.
They probably have.
Yeah, and I also know that eventually when they do either reconstruct or resurface or whatever they do with Ottawa Beach Road, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Obviously a major summertime thoroughfare through the area as we all go to the beach. So when it gets done, the only thing worse than having it in its condition right now will be the construction that has to happen on it eventually. But then, of course, once that's done, it'll be in good shape. So,
well, we're looking to a bit of that in the city, too.
Well, yeah, it's the non-ending situation where the more you reconstruct things and you have a hard time staying ahead of some of these things, but we do our best, and we'll have our construction season coming up again. We've just kicked off the beginnings of our budget discussion, and part of that also is of course using some of the general fund dollars for road construction projects. So as we get more deeply into the budget for the upcoming year, which our fiscal year starts July 1, we'll have a better sense as to what projects we'll get on the official docket for the upcoming year.
Are you going to have a State of the City speech this year?
You know, I don't know that I will. I don't find them terribly. I mean, I suppose they're helpful for someone like a governor and maybe the president, though. If you look back over the history, especially of the presidential State of the Nation addresses, now all the Constitution really talks about is that the president has to give a report to Congress. And up through, I want to say, around the Wilson era, so more than, you know, about 100 years or so ago. Presidents basically delivered a letter or had a letter delivered to Congress, and that satisfied that constitutional requirement. Since then, of course, the State of the Union has taken on its own sort of life, and in many ways it's more about the TV and
yeah.
politics as opposed to the hard and fast matter of it. So I have never found them to be terribly useful, especially at the local level. We will have lots of open discussion about upcoming budget priorities and things for the coming year in the next couple of weeks. You know, we have our council retreat not this weekend, but next weekend, Friday night and Saturday morning. Of course, that's an open public meeting. Then we'll have a series of budget meetings in early April. And the other thing, of course, is that under our system, we don't have an executive/legislative sort of setup. The mayor isn't the executive like you might see in a city like Lansing or Detroit, and the city council being the legislature. We, of course, the mayor's sort of first among equals, if you will, the one who runs the meetings, the chief elected official, but has one vote on the council just like every other member of the council. So it's not so much, my state of the city and priorities of the year, because the council, as a group of nine, is in charge of setting up those priorities for staff to implement.
All right. 395-1450, if you have a question for the mayor this morning, our line is open. What else did you have on your calendar this morning?
Well, we were talking a bit about this new wing plow, which is kind of fun. We have a new truck that goes with it. It's you have to have much more horsepower to be basically pulling two plows along, and a new salt bed goes into that. And I think that's sort of what the bit of the holdup is to get that all ready to go. But it'll be an impressive thing, and will help clean more quickly some of the major streets like Washington, Michigan, those Waverly, those kinds of places. I saw something new last week. Last Thursday, I had a chance to go to the auto show preview and then to the State of the State address in Lansing. And on the highway on 196, take that back, 96, headed to Detroit, traffic backed up a bit, and you kind of finally saw what was going on. It was I'm not sure if it was a county or an MDOT plow that was literally pulling. So it was driving in the center lane, and it was pulling another plow off to the right, kind of like a sidecar in a motorcycle.
Oh.
So it had its own plow and its own salt bed. Now, I'd never seen that before, but you talk about trying to maintain the interstate highway system, you get two for the price of one on that
yeah.
system. So it made our wing plow look not quite as cool, but good for us.
Well, it'll be interesting to see that in operation.
Yeah, absolutely. What else is going on? Tonight is today is, I think, though it's not terribly exciting stuff, that today could be one of the most important days in the city of Holland's history, at least for the next 20 years. Because today we have in town a couple of rating agencies who are here to investigate and look into and sort of observe the BPW and the City of Holland as we go out to do the bonding on the new power plant. And we have a presentation probably going on right now to one of the agencies. There'll be kind of a lunch meeting and tour of the community. And then in the afternoon, the other rating agency will have its meeting. But the importance of this is that they will look at the financials of the Board of Public Works. They'll look at the operations of the Board of Public Works. They'll take a look at the community. They'll meet the players. They'll look at the stability of the organizations. And out of all of this, they will make a recommendation as to what kind of rating the potential the bonds will have that will be sold to finance a good part of the new power plant. And the more stable or the more positive view they have of our organization and community, the higher rating that the bond will receive, and then therefore the lower cost it will be to have it. The lower the interest rate, it'll be on the bond. So, a good rating means much lower cost over the long term to finance the obligations of building the power plant. So it's a pretty important day, though. It's fairly quiet out there
is,
today,
but,
and probably most people around the area will have no idea that these folks are in town. They come to us, I'm pretty sure, from either New York or Chicago, but I'm pretty sure it's New York. And long-term future of this community, it's a pretty important day for us.
It is.
Tonight also is the is a special joint meeting between the City Council and the Holland Board of Public Works. And the Board of Public Works has been working with their architectural, engineering, and site planning team, and they are going to present to Council for information tonight the proposed initial site plan, as well as some architectural renderings of what the new plant might look like. So that will be kind of a pretty exciting thing for us all to see tonight, and then it will get referred out to the Planning Commission to begin the planning process of giving the proper approvals to the site plan, and then eventually, you know, once the bonds are sold, construction will start kicking off, and 2016, it will be up and running. So a big day in town. Should be a lot of fun see what that looks like tonight, and to sort of, you know, have people get a sense as to, okay.
That's public media, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. 5:30 tonight, City Council Chambers. It will be televised as well.
Okay.
So if you're at home, if the weather's not to your liking to get out tonight, you can certainly watch it at home, and of course we'll record it and put it on the city's online video site as well.
Good.
So if you can't see it tonight, you can certainly catch the video at a later time.
All right. So. There's some chit-chat lately about the city logo.
Sure. Yeah, you know, and anytime you do any sort of changes like that, people are going to like it or not, and it's a matter of taste, and you know, some like it, some don't. You know, I think Zeeland found the same thing when they did the Field the Zeal campaign some years ago. I can tell you that what we have done is, you know, we tried a process a few years ago working with some design students, local high school, local college students, and we got, you know, some entries, not a lot, and didn't really find anything that was terribly we didn't find anything that we felt like we could adopt.
Nobody said that's it.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a good effort to try and do, but it didn't quite work out. So it sort of sat on the shelf for a bit. And then some time ago, I think it was shortly after, well, we became aware of a guy named Adam Weiler, who is a Holland resident. And he and his wife run the Ambrose Design Makery, it's called, right in the old, for old timers, it's the old Home Field, Home Fabrics location right on River Avenue. And he and his wife have this wonderful little design and kind of arts business that they help train and work with especially younger persons who are interested in art and design. And Adam had worked with Tulip Time on a couple of things, either last Tulip Time or the one before it. And that's kind of how I got to know him initially. And other members of council had known Adam before, and we sat down with him and started talking. And he was pretty interested in the project and offered to really provide his services, his excellent services, at a very much reduced rate, because this was his town, his community, a place he takes pride in and had a vested interest in it. So over time, he worked through a whole series of scenarios, and a group of us met and would talk through some things, and ultimately, over a period of time, we settled on the design that is, and it was unveiled a couple weeks ago, and will begin to find its way into the usage. What we're doing when a company, for example, will do a major rebranding and they sort of launch and have a splash, there's some significant cost that comes with it, because you're changing out everything from business cards to letterheads to signs and all those kinds of things. What we're doing is we're going to replace with the new as the old needs to be replaced. So, for example, the city hasn't been ordering letterhead for quite a while, and we're to the point where we need to order some. So we will, because we'd have to place an order anyway, we'll place the order with the new. Same thing with vehicle signs and stickers. As new vehicles are put in place, as those things need to get replaced, they won't get replaced with the old. They'll get replaced with the new.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be a terribly excessive cost related to the makeover, simply because we're not going to rip everything down that's already in place and immediately put it up with the new one.
Very good. All right. And people can expect to see it around, they'll see it once in a while.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, if you go to the city's website now, you'll see it there. We've put it in places where, in essence, there is no cost associated with it, places like the website, the Twitter feed, the Facebook page, those kinds of things. But, pretty soon the letterhead will be finalized, and that will begin to be used. And then, you know, reports and memos and all those kinds of things will begin to be rolled out as well.
All right. We're here with the mayor, and if you have a question for the mayor, you may give us a call at 395-1450. We'd be happy to hear from you. And let's take a quick look at the weather. The weather is brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Enter your business card to win a Wooden Shoe catering. And the weather, there's a winter advisory for Ottawa County until 12 midnight, Allegan County till 7 a.m. tomorrow. And for today, we can expect snow showers up to 2 inches of snow with a high of 15 degrees. And tonight, snow showers up to 2 inches and a low of 11. Tomorrow, snow showers up to an inch and a high of 14. Right now, we're looking at 11 degrees here in the Tulip City.
Boy, how many times haven't you given that weather report this
season? Quite a bit.
Yeah, indeed.
And I'm a little tired of it.
Yeah, it's cloudy, snowy, and cold.
Yeah.
Right? You just record Juke's voice, push the button, and you're probably going to be, you know,
same thing tomorrow.
Exactly. So, there was an interesting hearing yesterday.
Can I stop there for a moment? Absolutely. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Mr. Mayor, just wanted to bring up a quick issue here in Holland. What is that, Pine and 9th Street in front of the Civic Center, that turning lane?
Yes.
I know you got guys under you that can think there are issues like that, but we've talked to the city manager already. All they did is they went out there and they painted, on the turning lanes, they painted a white line, you know, and I'm like, that white line is not telling people to stay in their lane while they turn. Many people, you know, just turn there. They want to cross right over, you know, without completing the full turn. And, they veer into your lane and they either cut you off or they get pretty close to, you know, your tailgate of the vehicle. So,
yeah.
Could you maybe just address that issue again?
Sure.
Maybe put up a sign saying, you know, a bright sign saying, you know, stay in your lane through the turn. I have something that people can actually see and pay attention, you know, instead of veering over. And I'm surprised, you know, the police department aren't there handing out tickets all day long, but people aren't, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's certainly, I mean, it's, you know, the rules of the road is you're supposed to stay in the lane on the turn, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I think part of the difficulty is, you know, how do you fix that sort of thing? I know that 9th Street is on the docket to be at least resurfaced, if not reconstructed, in the very near future, and I also know that the traffic engineers certainly will take a look at that issue at that point, since the work is going to be done on that street at that time anyway. That would be a time to see if there are ways that can be improved upon. It probably isn't a great immediate answer to say, you know what, let's find a way to force people to stay in their lane around the turn. All I can say is if you're in the right-hand turn lane, you're paying pretty close attention to make sure that the cars swinging around aren't swinging right over and smacking into your side.
Okay. I don't understand if they painted white line instead of yellow. Yellow usually means, you know, a barrier can't cross, you know, just like the turning lane, you know. So maybe just go over and paint yellow line instead of white so people see that more clearly.
Okay.
All right. We'll pass along the thoughts to, in fact, a lot of our traffic
they're
folks
listening.
Listen to the show anyway. So I understand they even have a pen and paper as they listen to the show. So that's probably written down already, but I'll follow up with it.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Good morning, Juke, and good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Kind of a comment and a question about the new city logo that was designed and put out there. A lot of people don't agree with having a new logo, and many of us don't agree that it's the right logo, if anything. We're questioning why this was created, how it was created, and by whom. Who made the decision to take this step and move us supposedly forward when we were totally happy with what we had? And the cost that is there, and there has to be a cost, and a certain group of people that created this. We do have committees within our city that were designed for these purposes, but it seems it wasn't utilized the way it should be. Now, you're going forward and getting all this new material and signage and stamps and letterheads and everything else to promote this, but the people didn't want it and didn't agree for it. So how do you explain that? And I thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know what committee exactly Mr. Chavez is referring to, but and I think I addressed the person who did it. He's a professional designer who cares deeply about this community, if you watched at all the video of the council meeting where it was approved, and of course if you haven't, you can see it online. You'll get a glimpse of some of the background material and research and other things that he did as he worked on this. This wasn't a situation where Adam sat down one afternoon and threw something together and said, aha, there we go. This was a lot of research, a lot of thought, a lot of discussion about what, you know, what the message that is trying to be conveyed. I did have to chuckle a little bit at the Sentinel editorial last week about the whole question of whether you can understand something. I mean, I guess the city could have followed the Sentinel's lead and just, you know, put City of Holland and thrown a tulip next to it, but I don't know that that's necessarily good design either. Many logos have some meaning behind them that people don't necessarily see or recognize. Mercedes logo, the three-pointed star actually, you know, stands for air, land, and sea. Yeah. Most of us don't know that, but it is what it is. So, you know, ultimately it was the council's decision to do so. We worked with professionals like we will do when we're designing other kinds of things, whether it's parks or whether it's street projects or those kinds of things, and the council ultimately decided unanimously to adopt it.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hi, I'm calling about traffic, too. I live a couple blocks away from that 9th Street.
Sure.
I live where 7th Street comes around and turns into 8th Street, and they come around that curve like 30, 40 miles an hour. There's a sign that says 20 miles an hour, but it's usually covered up with weeds. I've told the city about it a few times. I've lived here 3 years, and every day I see nearly 10, 15 accidents, near accidents. When you come down Maple and turn left, you can't. It says traffic from the ramp does not stop. They don't know that's the ramp. They think the ramp is from the VFW. So I think something should be done about that corner.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. And again, we have people from the traffic department who are transportation department who listen to the show. I suspect that the first thing they'll do is take a look at some of the numbers of incidents that happen in that spot. They'll take a look at some of the signage there and see if there's improvements that can be made, relatively easily in that section of the year. I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't used to travel that stretch of roadway, but now because of, you know, picking up kids from school in certain spots, I end up going on that 7th to 8th conversion there. And you know, I would much prefer to keep going right than to have to sort of stop at that intersection to go right, onto Maple instead.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
The answer is, but something should be done.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it and see if there aren't things that can be done to improve it. But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How is the windmill fund coming?
We're doing pretty well. The windmill itself has been completed. It's back up and running. Yeah. We have roughly about $500,000 or so left to go on it, but we have some. We've had great donations coming in. Just last week alone, we probably received somewhere in the 85,000 range, just, you know, in 1 week alone. Now that was a good week. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that's
not
typical.
All like that.
No, and you know. If only. But we still have some grant applications out that we haven't heard back from, some major gift asks that are out that we have not yet heard back from. And, you know, we're still, every time council meets, we accept a number of gifts. And, you know, the gifts, large and small, that come in are all appreciated. And, you know, it's just been a very fun project to work on. Frustrating at times, but certainly overall a very fun project. And we've gotten such good feedback from people who really value the. Some value the mill more than the space. Some value the space more than the mill. But it's the combination of site and amenities, I think, that make it a pretty unique place. I also, you know, some people donate to the Community Foundation. There's a separate fund set up there. And I get a report every week of the people who donated. Not the amounts, but the people who donated. So that way I can just jot them a little, you know, note of appreciation. And, you know, that list has not shortened. Every week, you know, we're still sending out a good number of cards of appreciation because, you know, people are interested. And this is a very generous community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And, I'm looking forward to going on Windmill Island next spring.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I think it'll be the first time that the you know, the mill will be up and running for real and for good. Having been restored, that'll be, you know, fun to see in the fullness of a season, you know, going throughout the summer and not just waiting till late November to have it up and running again.
And it's a great venue for public events.
Wonderful. It's booked out almost every weekend, if not every weekend. Yeah. I think they're booking into 2015 or 16 by now. You know, one more thing we should mention before we call it a show is that we got word yesterday that former Mayor Neil Berghoff passed away.
Yes.
He was in his early 90s. I did not really know Neil well at all, but I certainly know people who knew him and know people on the current council who actually served with Neil, and I have never heard a disparaging word about the man. He was, by all accounts, gracious, a very good leader, someone who came to this country from the Netherlands and you know, found and built a great life in our community and gave back through service on the council, as mayor on the council and in other ways of life. So, you know, condolences to his family, but what a fine and long life he lived. And, you know, I guess it's, you know, when I started as mayor, we had, I think, seven of us left, including current and former mayors. We have had three pass away in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But Neil was a fine man. And, you know, he left a great legacy for us.
Yes, he did. And thank you very much for being our guest this morning, Mayor. Always nice to have you here and it's expound always, on city matters.
Always good to be here. Thanks for letting me be here. And sorry for being a minute or two late. My apologies.